evening, everyone. Hope you all had a good afternoon. We are going to go over song number 112 tonight. So if you want to follow along in the songbooks, I'm going to put the verses up on the screen so you can see the words, and we'll talk about some things there. But song number 112. As you're turning there, just to welcome everyone and catch everyone up with what we're doing here tonight. This is a little different than what we normally do on a Sunday night. We started this last year looking at how to serve God better through some of our songs. And we got really good feedback from a lot of people on what we did last year with choosing a theme song for the quarter, taking a Sunday night, the first Sunday night of each quarter, to just all come up here together as a congregation, look at the song, kind of go over some of the lyrics, help us understand what it is we're singing about. We got some really good feedback from that, and so we decided to continue on doing that again this year. So we will have four theme songs throughout the year. The first one that you see on the screen behind me goes right along with what we talked about this morning, Teach Me Thy Way. If you weren't here this morning, we unveiled our new theme and the direction for the congregation this year and in the years to come. And we had some things to say about what it means for us to ask God to teach us His way and some things we'll look at for this year. If you were not here this morning, there's material on the back table for you. I invite you to go listen to the sermon online because it just explains and kind of gets us ready for some things we're going through for the next several months. But in regards to what we're doing here and why we're doing it, a lot of times when we go through these songs or when we sing, at least for myself, I get really into how it sounds or what part I'm supposed to be singing or how good or how bad I'm sounding based on the part I'm supposed to be singing, that sometimes I lose focus on what is actually being talked about in the song. And so that was kind of the premise for why we chose to do something like this starting last year, is just to kind of take that moment, look at these songs, look at the words, so that while we sing them throughout the quarter, we see, one, why they fit into the theme we've chosen, and two, helps us just understand what it is we're singing. That way, when we sing it, we're not getting lost, but we have some ideas, we have some stories, or whatever it may be to help us just focus on what it is we're singing. So we're going to talk about the song. It's a fairly short song. It's going to be a brief thing, to talk about. Rick will lead it for us. So that after we talk about it, and then we will have an invitation and an invitation song after that. But song number 112, if you're following along, and again, I'll have it on the screen behind me. One of my favorite movies growing up, it's still one of my favorites, and when I say this, I mean the original, not the remake of it, because the remake, I think, is garbage. But Karate Kid. Love the movie Karate Kid. And there's a part in the movie where Daniel goes to Master Miyagi, who's the teacher, and he wants him to teach him martial arts. And he finally comes to the realization he needs to learn martial arts, and he says, teach me what you can. And he has Daniel, the teacher has Daniel, or Daniel's son, if you watch the movie, go out and start waxing the car. That's where you get one of the most famous lines in almost all movie history, wax on, wax off, right? Even if you haven't seen Karate Kid, you know that line. Wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off, right? And it went on for some time, him wax on, wax off. Finally, when he was done with that, he had him go take care of the fence, and he had a brush. Up and down, take care of the fence, up and down. And he was getting so frustrated with why he was having to do meaningless chores. And there comes a point in the movie where he's finally had enough because he's basically just doing this old man's chores for him. Even after he said, I want to learn martial arts. I don't want to do your chores. And all of a sudden, the master tries to hit the boy. And he blocks it. He tries to hit him again, and he blocks it again. And he teaches him what he was really teaching the boy was not how to do meaningless chores, but the repetitious move of doing the wax on, the wax off, the up and down. It's the basic fundamental principles of how to block a punch or a kick. This talk is not about martial arts. Don't worry. I know nothing about martial arts. I would probably run away in a fight. But the point is this. When we come to God and we ask Him to teach us, like we looked at this morning in Psalm 86, verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may know truth. We have to be very careful when we ask God to teach us because we might not like the way He teaches us. How many of you have ever asked for patience and then get frustrated in what God puts in your life to teach you patience? Do you see the irony there? When we ask God for help, whatever it is in our lives, we have to be ready for what He's going to teach us. And what we are going to see in this song, when we sing this idea of teach me thy way, teach me your way, we're going to look at most of the what we sing in this song. It's not going to be pretty. It's not what we think about like when we think of teachers and students. It's not like we're going to sit down in a classroom or sit like we are here and God's going to give us the instructions and He's going to say, here's the syllabus, here's what I expect out of you, my children, and this is how it's going to be. It's not going to be easy. That when we ask God to teach me your way, teach me what you expect of me, teach me patience, teach me how to teach me, whatever it is, some of those ways He teaches might be very difficult. It's in our failures where we learn to pick ourselves up and we really learn the lessons that we need to learn. And what we're going to look at tonight is that's exactly what this song talks about. And all of us, as we go through some of the words tonight, are probably going to have things in our life that you're going to look at and say, I'm going through that right now. I'm going through this. I'm going through this difficult time. If you recall just a week and a half ago in our reflection service, you heard a couple stories from David and Jared about times in their life where it was a storm. But they can look back on it now and say, God was trying to show me something, teach me something. And all of us have either been there or might be there now. And we just don't see God is trying to teach us. And we get frustrated at God because, you know, why does He have me going through this? Just like in the movie, why am I doing meaningless chores? Well, what we think is meaningless, God might be trying to teach us and tell us something. And so let's keep that in mind as we go throughout some of these lyrics and some of these words tonight. There's the first verse up on the screen. It says, teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way. The guiding grace afford, teach me thy way. Help me to walk aright, more by faith, less by sight. Lead me with heavenly light. Teach me thy way. It's kind of like the introductory verse. Repeats a lot of the teach me thy way. We're not going to beat that to death because we looked at it this morning, what that means to ask God to teach us. And we're admitting to God, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. Your way is better. You're greater than I am. And so that was this morning's lesson. We're not gonna beat that over again. But what we are admitting when we sing some of these words, thy guiding grace afford, we're admitting to God that it's His way. I was reading something on this song. There's not much on this song, but I was reading something on this song, and it says, when you think about what grace is and God's guiding grace, grace is a gift that God has given us. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us we have been saved by grace. And it's a gift from the Lord. Grace is when we receive something that we don't deserve. We sing how amazing and how wonderful grace is. And here, what one commentator had to say on this was, it's God's grace, that perfect gift that He's given us, the gift of Jesus Christ, that should guide us, that should lead us, that should teach us. And so we're asking God here to lead us and to teach us by your grace. Help me to walk aright, more by faith, less by sight. Lead me with heavenly light. Teach me thy way. Turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. We're going to have a couple verses to look at in each one of these verses here. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this is what Paul writes there, and it might help put some of these things into perspective. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul writes there, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, talking about its body. If we know that our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, the mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, brother, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. In other words, he's saying, you and I can have confidence in something. While we're here, and we're about to get to these verses that talk about this, while we're here in this body, Paul says, we're grieving, we're groaning. Because life is hard, life is difficult. There's things that we go through that we don't want to go through. And so while we're here, we're groaning. He says, but there's something else. God has prepared something else. It's a different kind of body that we desire to go to. And there's assurance of that. That there is life beyond this. It gets better. And so we're asking God to teach me. This is what I think what this writer is referring to here when he says, more by faith, less by sight. Teach me to keep that heavenly goal. Teach me to have that assurance, to know that through all the trials and the storms and the temptations and the sins that we're going to talk about in the next couple verses, teach me to keep that faith and to be assured. Help me walk by faith, not by sight, based on what happens here in this world where we groan and it's horrible and it's hard, but to know what's coming next. He says, teach me how to do that. Teach me and lead me with heavenly light. Something I read on this, when it says, lead me with heavenly light, it's almost like we say, you know, don't go into the light. This way, this commentator said, this is a light you want to go into. You let the light of Christ, the light of the world, guide you. Let him teach you. Let him take you where he needs you to go. But we have to be completely willing to submit ourselves to our teacher and our master to say, teach me your way. Teach me your way. Now this is where it gets kind of difficult. When we ask God to teach us, when we ask Jesus to teach us, when we say, I'm going to walk by faith, not by sight, I'm going to follow that heavenly light, teach me your way, O Lord. This is when it gets difficult. He says, when I am sad at heart, teach me thy way. When earthly joys depart, teach me your way. In hours of loneliness, in times of dire distress, in failure or success, teach me thy way. How many of us have ever felt one of those pains before? How many of us have ever been sad? Well, it's kind of, you know, we've all been there. We've all lost loved ones. We've all had broken hearts. From losing family members, from watching family members or friends have to go through something, maybe from losing a family member spiritually. We've all had sad hearts. We've all had those broken hearts. We can rest assured knowing that Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. But I think one of the ways Jesus teaches us, God teaches us, is when we're sad. And that's what he's saying. When I'm sad at heart, teach me thy way. Guide me. Tell me what I need to do. He says, when earthly joys depart, teach me thy way. I'm reminded of the story of Job, where Job had it all. Job had everything. He had a family, he had a wife, he had property, he had livestock, he had servants. He had everything. And yet, in a matter of moments, servant after servant came and told of all the catastrophes that happened to wipe out his family, his children, to wipe out his livestock, to wipe out his properties. And if that wasn't enough, then the affliction came upon him. And he had those great boils that he was scraping. But he lost everything. And yet we praise him. We praise him because he never lost his faith in God. In fact, when his wife said, go ahead and give up on God, just curse God and die, he said, shall I accept the good from God and not the bad? From dust I came, from to dust I shall return. In other words, he's saying, everything in this world is not mine anyways. I came from dust, I'm going to go back to dust. It all really just means nothing. Job, we praise him because Job, through the storms and through all the earthly joys departing, he was able to stay true to God. Have any of us ever been there? Many of you, maybe it hasn't happened to you personally, but maybe you know somebody. Any of you ever lost any earthly joys? Have you ever known somebody that lost their house and everything in it to a fire or flood? Have you ever known anybody to get in an accident and total their car? Have you ever known anyone that had to go into bankruptcy because they lost their money? Had to file a foreclosure on the house? Whatever it is, all those earthly things, they depart sometimes. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Even when all those things depart, draw me closer to you. That's what we're singing. I know of, it's more Brooke's friend than mine, but when the hurricane hit Florida, I may have already said this story here in a sermon I did, but it fits so perfectly with what's happening here. What we're talking about, when the hurricane hit Florida earlier this year, her and her husband, they had just gotten married, they decided to go up and visit his parents because he was losing one of them. And so they said, well, we got to get out of Florida anyways because the hurricane. So they went up north, and while they were up north, I believe it was his father who passed away. So they stayed a little bit longer. He had to bury his father. And then they come home. And as they came home, they drive up to their apartment and it had burnt down. Because in the middle of the hurricane, all the electrical wires and everything came down on their apartment complex. They lost everything. All they had was what they packed to go up north to go bury his father with. And yet they were on Facebook saying how great their God was. And it hit me there that these things in life, whether it's family or the physical possessions, the joys in earth will depart. But what's left when all that is gone? Hopefully we've been able to say, teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me to come to you. In hours of loneliness, in times of dire distress, in failure or success, teach me thy way. We've all been there. We've all been, maybe felt the pain of being lonely. We've all been in distress. We've all had those moments, maybe some greater than others. We've all had times of failures. We've all had times of success. And through all of it, we need to be able to look at God and humbly come to him and say, teach me thy way. I'm reminded of David in Psalm 22, where we get the one quote from one of the quotes from Jesus on the cross where it starts, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? He says, oh my God, I cry out in the daytime, you do not hear, and in the night, and you are silent. He's saying, I'm trying to talk to you, God. I'm trying to cry out to you. You're not answering me. He'll go on to say, we're not going to read the whole psalm just because we don't have the time, but he'll go on to say that he's despised by all the people. There's no one. He's lonely. He's despised. He would go on to say that he's close to death. He said his skin is sticking to him. He has his tongue clings to my jaws. You've brought me to the dust of death, he says. But through it all, he's able to say some of these words. But you are holy. But you are he who took me out of my mother's womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. He says, you have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. And you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all you offspring of Israel. David was able to say through that psalm, he says, God, are you listening to me? I'm lonely. God, I'm in distress. I'm near death here. God, no one likes me. They despise me. They want to kill me, he's saying. But at the very end of it, he's able to say, but you, God, are holy. I think that's more the idea of what Jesus was trying to get across while he was hanging on the cross. When he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's not asking God why he's forsaken him. He's telling God, I know you will deliver me. Just like you did David in the book of Psalms, where we get that one verse. But in times of loneliness and distress and failure, success, we still have to be able to look at God and say, teach me thy way. Verse 3, he says, when doubts and fears arise, teach me thy way. When storms overspread the skies, teach me thy way. Shine through the cloud and rain, through sorrow, toil, and pain. Make thou my pathway plain, teach me thy way. Again, more feelings that we've all been there. We've all felt some of these things before. When fears and doubts arise, I'm reminded of the multiple times that Jesus had his apostles on a boat and storms would come, because that's the next line, when storms overspread the skies. And I get this picture of Jesus with all of his disciples on a boat, and these storms, the waves are crashing over the boat, and they're scared for their lives. One time Jesus was sleeping in the front of the boat, they have to wake him and say, do you not care about us? Do you think Jesus was teaching them a lesson? And yet, here we are in our lives when we go through storms. There's times when doubts and fears arise in our spiritual life. I think most people in this room have probably been down that road before, where you start doubting things. You start asking questions. Does God really care for me? Is there really a God? How can I prove there's a God? Did Jesus really come? Did he really raise from the dead? Is all this really real that you and I follow? Do I really have forgiveness of sins if I'm baptized like the Bible instructs me to do? There's doubts. There's fears. How many of us fear death? It's a natural thing. We fear the unknown. We fear those storms when they come over us. Whether it's a sickness or a job loss or losing a family member, like we've already talked about a few moments ago, we fear those storms when they come over our skies. But it's in those moments, I think, that Jesus is trying to teach us something. That he wants to see just really what we're made of. Because do you remember as he calms the storm, what he tells his disciples? Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Almost like Jesus was trying to teach them something. Why are you doubting me? And so we ask Jesus, teach me thy way. In all these storms, in all these doubts, in all these difficult times, teach me your way. Jesus can shine, as this says, he can shine through the clouds and the rain. He can shine through the sorrow and the pain. I know it sounds good because it rhymes, right? But it's true. That in all those storms, Jesus shines through. Through all the sorrow and pain we may go through, Jesus shines through. And then we ask him, make my pathway plain. I love what Psalm 119 says. We're going to go over this psalm in more detail as we get into some things a little later this year. But Psalm 119, and starting in verse 105... it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. I love what it says there. I am afflicted very much. You almost hear him saying, I'm going through a lot right now. Right? How many of you have ever just gone to God, hey, there's a lot going on right now. Man, those storms keep coming. It's just getting harder and harder. He says, I am afflicted very much. But he starts that whole section with, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In other words, he's saying, no matter what it is that's going on, I'm going to let you guide me. I'm going to let you tell me where I need to go. I'm going to come to you. Make thou my pathway plain. Teach me thy way. In the last verse, and then we'll sing this song. Long as my life shall last, teach me thy way. Wherever my lot be cast, teach me thy way. Until the race is won, until the journey's done, until the crown is won, teach me thy way. Of course, that first part's very easy to just understand what he's talking about. Long as my life shall last. This is a lifelong, we are never done learning. Never. If you read the bulletin this morning, one of my favorite stories I've ever heard is in that. And it's a true story. But it's about a preacher who was at a gospel meeting. And he was visiting, and he was at a gospel meeting, and the host family that he was staying with couldn't find him one morning. And they looked through their whole house, and they eventually found this older preacher. He's probably in his 80s. Found him on the floor of their little study, their little home office, and he had all these commentaries and all these books, and he had his open Bible in his hand. And they said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm studying." And this family that was hosting him said, Don't you know all this stuff already? I mean, he was a spiritual giant, a gospel preacher for almost 60 years. Don't you know all this stuff already?" He said, "Oh, I'm never done learning." Don't you love that? This man was on probably in his last few years. And he says, "I'm never done learning." He wanted to learn more about God. And that's the attitude that I see here in verse 4. As long as my life shall last, teach me thy way. There will always be lessons to learn. There will always be things that we need to hear. Always going to be things that Jesus is trying to show us and lead us and teach us. But we need to have the attitude to say, as long as I'm here, as long as my life shall last, teach me thy way. Wherever my lot be cast, teach me thy way. I want to ask this question, and this is something that we're going to look at throughout this year. But I want each of us to ask ourselves, myself included, where you are right now in life. At your job, at school, in your family, in your relationships with your husband, wife, kids, grandkids, boyfriend, girlfriend, doesn't matter. And again, whether you're at a job or school or however old or how young you are, wherever you are in life right now, I want you to ask yourself two things. Am I being used to the best of my ability in the Lord's kingdom? Am I being used, no matter how old, how young, no matter who you are, the relationships you have, am I being used to the best of my ability in the Lord's kingdom? 9 out of 10 people would answer that question with, "No, I'm not. There's more I could do. There's more I want to do." The second question is this. What are you willing to do? To tell God tonight. Don't tell me. We don't want to tell the elders. We don't want to tell each other. I mean, you can. But to tell God. Wherever my lot is cast. Wherever I am. Wherever I am in life. Whatever I have been doing. Wherever my family is. Your family might be rich, your family might be poor. You might be well-educated, you might not be educated at all. You might be in your teens and 20s, you might be in your 80s and 90s. You might have several kids, you might have no kids. You might have a spouse, you might have never married, or your spouse has passed on. Whatever the situation is, I want you to ask yourself, what am I willing to do now? Wherever my lot is cast, what am I willing to do now to learn God's way? And to not only learn God's way, but to teach His way as well. I love what he says. Wherever my lot be cast, wherever I am in life, teach me. Teach me thy way. When I moved here, I told the elders one thing. I said, here's what I'm looking for in a congregation. There's several things I look for in a congregation, and I know there's several things that they look for in a preacher when we were talking back and forth about me moving here. I said, but there's one thing that I find vitally important. I need a congregation that will help me grow. But I also need a congregation that I can help grow. Not numerically, spiritually. I said, no, I don't care where I am. I could be in California where I grew up. I can be in Athens, Alabama. I can be in middle of nowhere, Kentucky, where I had an interview at the very beginning of my career where I was on the phone with Brooke, and in 3 seconds I told her that there was a bank, a school, and a grocery store in the church, and I was out of the city already. I said, I don't care where I am, but I need to make sure that wherever it is I am, I can do two things. I can grow spiritually, and I can help that church grow spiritually. Now, that has become clouded at times as different things in life just happen, and I kind of lose focus, but I always try to come back to those two things because I want to, if I sing this song, I want to say, wherever my lot is cast, wherever I am, teach me thy way. I need to grow. But I also, as my job, I need to help as well. How many of us can say, and I can't always say that I've kept that mentality because, again, just things in life happen. But how many of us can say that wherever we are now, we are giving our best to the kingdom of God, to learn and to teach God's way? Until the race is run, until the journey's done, until the crown is won, teach me thy way. We end with one vitally important piece of information, that there was a goal. There was something this person was shooting for. There's something this person was aiming for, and that was heaven. The reason we're asking God to teach us, the reason we're humbling ourselves before God is because we want to be in heaven with Him. And so we are saying, continue to teach me until that race is run, the journey's done, the crown is run. These are familiar verses to us, but in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll end with this. Paul says in verse 7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, not to me also, or not to me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. Our goal is heaven. But we're only going to get there if we're humble enough to look at God and say, teach me your way. It might be difficult. The road might get rocky and bumpy. There might be failures, there might be successes. But teach me your way, because I want to be in heaven. That's a hard thing to ask, because like I said, we might not like how he teaches us. But it will be worth it when we can look back on life and say what Paul said, I fought the good fight. I fought the fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Finally, he says, you almost get this sense of, made it. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. We're going to sing this song now. Rick's going to lead us in this song, and as we sing, it's a hard thing to ask. And as I say almost every time we go through one of these songs, don't sing it if you don't mean it. Because when we ask God to teach us His way, again, we might not like what we get in return. Might be hard, might be rocky. But it will be worth it when we reach our goal of heaven. Let's sing the song, and then we'll have an invitation right after.
Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Thy guiding grace afford. Teach me. Lead me with heavenly light. Teach me thy way. When I am sad at heart, teach me thy way. When earthly joys depart, teach me. In failure or success, teach me thy way. When doubts and fears arise, teach me thy way. When storms o'erspread the skies, teach me.